Matthew chapter 13. I think we all know the parable of the sower. So what we'll do is we'll go to verse 18 and we'll get into the explanation of the parable of the sower. Is everyone there? Jesus said, "So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown on the path. And the one sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who heard the word and immediately received it with joy. But there was no root, and it was short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately falls away. Now the one that was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sower on the good ground, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, who produces fruit and yields some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you and praise you this morning. We thank you, Father, that we can come together in your house to study your word together. Father, to understand what you have given us and your direction for us. Father, that there is a lost world around us, but we are indeed your light to this community and everywhere we go. We ask you now to reveal yourself in your word this morning. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I was kind of thinking that this was, I mean, it looks like it's a farming community, but I'm not sure that, it sounds like farmers are not amongst us in numbers, because it sounds like we got a very diverse group of folks that have done about everything. But we understand farming. We've at least had a garden, probably. And I think sometimes we get caught up in this parable on what the heart is like more than what we as Christians are to do. Jesus gave us this parable not so that we would know people's hearts and avoid them or be scared of them, because fear with the love of Christ in us is not something that we should have. But we should be bold in doing what he has commanded us. And what did he command us? He commanded us in a way that is active. It is active because he said, go. He not only said, go, he said, as you go, make disciples. And as you make them, teach them. So go, make, and teach. The gospel is active. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says it is active in such a way that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut through anything. And that means even the ugliness and the blackness, darkness of this world. So what is it about the soils? If we have farmed or had a garden, how were we active with that? Because if we weren't, the only thing we would have got is weeds, correct? So what is it about that? Well, the soil has to be tilled or disked. The soil has to be fertilized. The seed has to be planted. And even then, the crop has to be weeded and nurtured. The crop has to be harvested, finally. And the crop has to be stored. If you take the last part of that, the store. This is the storehouse, is it not? If we're not active, what's our fields going to look like? One, there won't be a crop because we didn't plant any seed. And all over this nation, churches today are closing their doors. That is a sad prophecy. There is no crop. Therefore, there is no need for the storehouse. But if we're active, I'll share a little story. Years ago, when I was in college, I was pastoring a little country church, much like this one. And one of the deacons told me, he said, "We show the people that were Christians by the way we live." And this has gotten the name lifestyle evangelism. But if all we're doing is showing the people how we live, that's something that the Bible says is not right. Because the Bible calls it good works. And why do I say that? Because if we are not actively sowing the seed, it's not the gospel. If we are doing nothing more than letting people watch, oh, they're a good person. No. Unless we are sharing the reason for the hope that we have, 1 Peter 3:15, there is no gospel involved in it. It is good works. And I don't think as Christians that's what we're meaning to spread. Because we, as Christians, are covered with the blood of Christ. Should we not be sharing the blood of Christ with the world? Without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. Therefore, people will remain in their lostness. Now, let's sow some seed. God is the farmer. Jesus is the seed. Jesus told him himself, unless a kernel of corn is planted in the ground and dies, it cannot produce any fruit. Speaking of himself. So that, what's that make us? That makes us the farm hands. We got work to do. He gives us four soils. A hardened path. Rocky ground. Thorns and weeds. And finally, fertile soil. But even the fertile soil didn't come that way, did it? We may inherit or we may buy some property that is fertile, but at some point or another, someone's worked that ground to make it that way. Jesus is telling us that, yeah, there's bad things in the world. But that is not his purpose in here, that we would take that and avoid the lost world or to be fearful of it. He's letting us know this because he's letting us know what we have to, what we are preparing ourselves for. How many of you ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? One of the Kendrick Brothers movies. There's a phrase in that just was the essence of the entire movie. We have to prepare for rain. If we're not prepared, the rain comes, what good is it if the seed is not in the soil? So So let's take a look. We got the path. And the path, we've walked on paths. They get hard. Nothing can penetrate it. In farming, there's always a path out to the field where the tractor runs. And it's got to be hardened or the tractor's going to sink in the mud and get stuck. Never get the seed into the soil then. But if it's hardened like that, what does that mean as we go out into the world? What hardens people's hearts? People's hearts are hardened because they're lost. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. That's one. But not only are they lost, but they live in unforgiveness, bitterness, maybe estranged from family members or from good friends that they had. And we live in a world that's full of abuse everywhere. And when I say abuse, I mean just about anything that you can imagine. I've been in ministry 36 years now. And in that 36 years, I've seen and come to understand that there is more abuse than what we know about at all. And unfortunately, there's a good portion of it within the church, which is not good at all. But the thing is, he lets us know that this soil is there. Why? What does it take for us to be active with the gospel? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We know it's out there. We may come across it at some point. Some of you may have been there in your lives. God gives us the opportunity to share our testimonies out in the world. If you've been there, guess what? God's going to bring into your life someone that needs to hear that. Those folks need to hear, I've been there. This is what happened to me. But guess what happened? Jesus got a hold of me and God delivered me. And this can happen for you as well. They need to hear that. Sometimes before we can share that far, we just need to take them a plate of cookies or something. Show them love. There's a song that I've heard on the radio much, and to the point where I went out and bought the album because I love the song so much. But when I got the album, I've never bought an album where every song on it was something that I like. But not only that, because it's a Christian album, a song that every song is dead right in the Word of God. But there's a song called Saved People. Saved people serve people. Served people get saved. An act of kindness could shake the blindness standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what we do, not what we say. With that said, always looking for the opportunity at the right time to share the Word of God, not to shy away from it. So first of all, by prayer, because prayer is the only thing that goes with the Word as it is planted. And then God will cause the growth. God will bring the rain as we do the work to nurture it and to build it up. Then we have the soil, the rocky soil. And what is rocky soil? Except that there's hindrances. There's things in the way. The rocks. When I was a kid and having to dig post holes, rocks were the worst thing you wanted. Some were bigger than the hole, so you couldn't go too deep. But even then, when it's smaller ones, that post hole digger doesn't want to go past them. Sometimes you just got to go get a shovel and do what you can. or you got to dig another hole, right? But there's things, little things, that become hindrances that our faith can be that which helps someone get past. What do I mean by that? This is something the Lord has shown me with James 2:18. It says, I will show you my faith by what I do. One aspect of it is this. When we are able to do something that we couldn't otherwise do, it's not based on our abilities or our talents or anything like that, but only the fact that God gave us something to do and He enabled us and taught us how to do it. The other aspect of this, of it is this. Because of my faith, how do I respond to negativity? How do I respond to adversity around me? Most of our workplaces, people are just looking for an opportunity to discredit God. Are they not? So what discredits Him more than anything in the world except for the fact that they see us act in some kind of an ungodly manner? I remember the first year I was saved. I was still in the Air Force at that time. And one of my co-workers, in some coarse jest or whatever that happened within the office, said, I thought you was a Christian. And I'll tell you what, God buttoned my mouth shut as quick as she said it. I knew I was wrong. And God used that to shut me up. God can use lost folks as well as He can, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But it was something that was standing in the way of someone else. And I found that the only thing, really, is to just humble ourselves and apologize. Because that's different from what the lost world knows. We've already messed up. It's better just to confess it, apologize, and ask for forgiveness. That they don't understand. Because the lost world is vengeful. They want to get back. Forgiveness and the love of God is different. Vengeance is His, not mine. We have next a ground that is full of thorns and weeds and brush. And a lot of that was the soil that the United States was built on. The farming areas were nothing but trees and brush and things like that. And even today you see areas where the farmers are extending their sowing ability by removing trees and brush and then burning it and getting rid of it so that it's good ground. And the Bible tells us that that's the worries of this world. That's the desire for the pleasures of this world. And it says these things choke out the word so that it becomes unfruitful. And basically what it's saying is it's a distraction. The pleasures, the worries, these things distract us from understanding who God is and how good He is to us. And we may know it, but at some point it overwhelms us. If you think of a scale, and the easiest thing for me to picture is the scales of justice. When you think about it, what you put on one side that outweighs the other becomes the focus. And when the pleasures of this world and the worries and all these things that overwhelm us become the focus, we lose complete aspect of what is around us. Goes back to that old saying, you can't see the tree through the forest. That is so true. But what overcomes that? What overcomes it? Every one of these is the love of God. But what is it in the activity, our activity? That is, one, prayer. We've got to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Second of all, how does He communicate with us? Because He tells us who He is and how He works. We've got the directions to it right here. Two main things right there. But then we have to be the servant. We can pray about it, we can read about it, but if we don't do it, we might as well forget it. We are first and foremost, after our salvation, servants of God. We've all heard the verse and probably memorized it through the years. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly discerning or dividing the word of truth. The actual Greek translation of that means diligently or having a consistent habit of making ourselves available to God. When we make ourselves available to Him, and not on the basis of, God, come join me, but God, show me where you're working so I can join you. Making ourselves available to join Him in what He's doing, remaining in His righteousness, not being ashamed, but because we are drawing close to Him, rightly or correctly discerning God's word. Now, finally, we get through these other soils that are all around us. And we go back to Matthew 28. As we go, we're to make disciples and teach them. The fertile soil already is fertile. This is our brothers and sisters that are in the Word constantly, that are praying constantly, that are sharing the Word constantly. But even they need to be nurtured and uplifted, encouraged. Agreed, there's not quite as much work as with the others, but that's called fellowship. Can we have fellowship outside of our brothers and sisters in Christ? No. Fellowship is with fellow believers because we need to be lifted up and we need to be nurtured in the Word of God. Fellowship with unbelievers, that's called evangelism. It's called witnessing. The Bible is very clear. Friendship with the world is enmity toward God. That's what distracts us. That's what takes us away from this Word. But the fellowship with our fellow believers, when do we do that? Well, we know we do it on Sunday morning, just like we are right now. Prayer meetings, small groups, whatever it might be, where we get together, whether it be as a congregation or whether it be as a small group. How many of you ever heard the verse where two or three are gathered? Okay. Did I just quote that correctly? I did not. Where two or three are gathered, in my name, there I am in your midst. But how many church folk, let alone the lost world that doesn't know Jesus, how many church folk get together as two or three? And it's gossip, and it's backbiting, and it's ungodly things. It's not in His name. And He's not in your midst because of it. But when we gather together in His name, He's the center point of what we're doing. He gets the glory for it, not us. And as a result, it says his word will not return void. When we are in the name of Christ, glorifying him in everything we do, and the Bible says whether we eat or whether we drink, no matter what we do, do it to his glory, do it in his name. And because he receives the glory and the honor for it, he will be the one lifted on high. And then our rewards are determined by him, not by what the world says. We may be persecuted. In the United States, we haven't got a clue what persecution means. We think it's somebody slamming a door in our face when we want to witness to them, or we think it's someone cussing us out because we dared to share the Word of God with them. Yeah, that's a form. But we got brothers and sisters all over the world that are losing their lives for the sake of Jesus. The book of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering together as we are this morning. Our brothers and sisters throughout the world are being persecuted and killed for the sake of the gospel. But be ready for when the time comes. Is the time close? I think a lot of us believe that. But when it comes is when it comes. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready, tilling the soil, fertilizing it, planting the seed, and getting ready for the harvest. We've got to be busy preparing for rain. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and praise you this morning. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself in these ways. We're thankful, Father, that we can be your servants. We're thankful, Father, that you guide us as we go out, that we're not alone in this, but that you indeed are our lead, our guide. We thank you, Father, for lighting our path so that we can know where we're going, that we will not stumble. And we thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity to share with the lost world the love that you had for us, but also, Father, that same love for them. We thank you, Father, and ask you to lead us and guide us throughout this week that we may be active, whether it be tilling the soil, whether it be fertilizing, whether it may be harvesting and reaping what you have caused to grow. Father, just give us the opportunity to share our testimony with someone that they can know, Father, how you work in our lives, that they can indeed be delivered and healed of their lostness. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.